You good to go?
We're good.
Awesome. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. Before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There's a wealth of resources there to help you with your child's self-esteem and confidence and so much more. So I'll put the link in the description so you can have a look at it. I highly recommend it. And today I have another amazing guest. I love it. She has a book that just came out, Bless the Meds. And we're going to be talking about that later. But I have the lovely Christy Vito with us today. And I'm out of breath, but just because we were just kind of being silly before we started recording. And I'm not recovering from it apparently. So I will put the spotlight on Christy. Thank you so much for joining me. And can you kind of go over tell us your story, how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. So, most of my life, I kind of lived a regular, normal life. I had a business. I was an event planner for over a decade. And then I had a little fender bender, which completely turned my life upside down. It was like Pandora's box that opened every potential health issue imaginable, really. And so I was first diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease, which I had to have emergency life-saving surgery in 2020 to actually remove my entire colon because of the inflammation. And I, on top of that, I also have a connective tissue disorder called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, EDS. And it's a genetic condition that is pretty much in every single cell of my body and every system of my body. If you think of collagen as the glue that kind of holds your body and your muscles and your joints together, EDS is a lot stretchier, and so my muscles and tendons have to work a lot harder just to hold my body up. And then I with EDS, there's also something called postural orthostatic tachycardia. So if I go from laying down to standing up too quickly, I'll get dizzy. It's an autonomic nervous system disorder. So everything that most people don't have to think about, like digestion and heat regulation, my body has a hard time regulating. So the last few years have been, it's been about a decade since my health kind of declined and kind of rerouted my destination or where I thought I was going.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a
That's a
lot.
lot. And it's always interesting how it's like that one event sometimes, like a big event kind of takes, like you said, the Pandora's box, right? It just you're like, where did this all come from all of a sudden? That's a lot. And we'll go over it a little bit, but it's also the how long it must have taken to actually get all of these diagnoses. Those are not easy diagnoses to get in the beginning. So you're struggling on your own and you're kind of going through it, so it is. God, that's really hard. That's a
It's a
whole
lot.
transplant.
It's definitely a lot because the
Yeah.
genetic I've had my entire life, I was born with a dislocated hip. Like I had all kinds of like weird little things growing up that didn't seem to make sense. And then this EDS was like the big piece of the puzzle that put it all together. But it was, I only got my diagnosis like late 30s and like 2019. So I went from getting my POTS, EDS, mast cell at the end of 2019. And then 2020, we all know the world kind of stopped. And that's when my IBD flare started. So then 6 months later, I'm in the ER waiting for emergency surgery. So like your life really can change in a matter of seconds, really.
It does, yeah. And we've talked to, before we got together to record this podcast, we had talked about living with a disability. And because you've gone all through this just before the world shut down and you had to go through the whole medical process while the world was shut down, you had mentioned, and I thought that was kind of interesting to share as well, that you've already experienced what life could be with a disability through your godson. Can you kind of share that? How and how that would have helped you cope with everything that you
Definitely.
went through by yourself at that point.
So my godson was born in 2011, and I was busy doing my event planning, like working 80 hours a week, and there was no indication that anything was going to be wrong with my best friend's pregnancy. It turned out that he was having strokes and seizures in utero, and we were told that I might not even get to meet him. And so the first year of his life, sadly, was kind of like us waiting for him to pass. And it was my first real, it kind of stopped me in my tracks and kind of was like, how do I deal with this? Like, I'm focusing on weddings and all these pretty things. And like, my God, I might not actually get to meet him. So it was, it really changed my entire world and outlook on life and what is actually important. And he's just, he just turned 13 years old, and like, he is the happiest, even though he's in a wheelchair, he's nonverbal, he's tube fed, like he's has visual impairment, but he's the happiest little soul, and he's taught me so much in terms of just living with complex health, and you can still find joy in moments, even though, his life doesn't look like everybody else's.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's how you look at things, really. It
It's
really
how,
does come down to it. And
yeah.
I still get shivers when you talk about how you spend that first year just waiting for the inevitable to happen, and then it doesn't happen. And 13 years later, he's still there. And
I mean, he's still alive. I say this all the time because of the love and dedication and advocacy of his mom. And so watching her advocate for my godson really was vital in terms of like helping me learn to advocate for myself, especially as you said, like I was in like October of 2020, there I was not allowed to have visitors. I was like, thank goodness for video chat, but like essentially I was by myself with conditions that most doctors and nurses honestly aren't familiar with. And so I had to step up, advocate for myself, step in to stop certain treatment protocols. So it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with all at once, like not just having my entire colon taken out and now living with a stoma for 2 years. Like, it was life-changing, definitely.
Because it's not just having to deal with the physical healing. Your body has to heal from this. You're going through stuff there already, but you have to stay sharp and alert on what's going on around you. So you say, no, this doesn't feel right. So that advocating, because that's really what touched me, was because I see it a lot with parents who have children with
Yeah.
disabilities or any kind of diagnosis, and they really do feel alone. At some point, you know your child, you know your body, and you know that
That
there's something's not right, and being told that it's nothing, it's just a virus, it's just this, it's in your head, it's in a, and you're thinking, no, I know my head. This isn't my head.
exactly.
Yeah, so because you've also helped with your godson a little bit when you came to help it. So how did that prepare you? How did that experience being a kind of a caregiver,
Yeah,
how did that prepare you for your experience?
so my best friend got pregnant. And with Nicholas, she couldn't carry him anymore up the stairs in her house, and her husband worked shifts. And so she asked me, and at first I thought she was just like joking, but she doesn't really have a big support system in Toronto where she is. And so I went and I lived with them for a year and a half. And, being one of his primary caregivers, like, there was one point he had surgery, he had his tonsils out. And for most kids who eat and, they're told no dairy, no this, but because he can't eat, we had his formula, and he would start aspirating. And so like learning, even though there was a nurse there, like the nurse, I was more comfortable with him than the nurse was at that point. So like just knowing how to like flip him so that he can get it all out so that he doesn't actually aspirate. Like it's really eye-opening and you don't really understand it. You can see it from a distance and think you understand it, but the amount of work that goes into a child with any kind of special needs, but especially when they're 100% dependent, it's a lot.
It is, and it's also the fact that your friend reached out and asked for help, because that's one thing that's also really hard to do when you're going through this. You really think you're alone, or you don't want to bother people with this, so you don't want people judging you and stuff. So just to ask for that help is so important to
And
give.
I was like, the fact that I was self-employed and was able to kind of work my schedule because I was still doing events at that point. So I was traveling back and forth. I was doing some events in Toronto. So I had the flexibility to actually be able to go there and support her the way she really needed it. And yeah, where she's my sister from another. Paris, we have the same birthday, same year, like we're very connected, and so she's family. So, yeah,
That's the best kind of family,
it
honestly.
is. It is the
It's
chosen one.
your chosen family, exactly. I love it. Now there's a lot of there's a huge mental impact on a psychological impact on having to deal with everything you've gone through. Is there something you'd like to share, things that we don't think about that people wouldn't know about, like that impact it has on you mentally that nobody was really talking about?
So I think the biggest thing is it's really isolating to live, especially when you're immunocompromised and like I have to always be aware. And the funny thing is, like, if you think about for most people, the first few months of the pandemic when the lockdown went down and everybody had to stay in their house and do social distancing and the mental impact, like just think of how you felt in those first few months. Like it's isolating, you kind of go stir crazy. It's not something that is really talked about or understood. And it's funny because my doctor at the point when I was starting to go into my flare, she was saying all my chronic illness patients are dealing really well with the pandemic. It's her like healthy patients that are having this like other mental health crisis that was kind of happening or is still, we're still seeing the effects of that. So yeah, if you have someone that has chronic illness, reach out to them and just, they might not, just that connection is it means a lot more than most people realize.
It does, and it doesn't, from my experience too, it doesn't have to be somebody trying to fix or, find a solution. It's
No,
just be
just to
there.
say hi. How's it
Exactly.
going? Even if I'm like, today's an off day. I'm not feeling great. But to be able to be honest about that and be like, you know what, I'm pushing through, but I'm struggling today. And to have that place to like talk to people, it's really important.
That's good. That's good to know, because like you say, it can happen overnight. You're not even,
Can.
all of a sudden your entire world changes and you don't know where to start. So just to know that you're not alone going through that kind of questioning and and self-sabotaging a little bit, because you
Oh
kind of
yeah.
you're hard on yourself, right? So
100%.
yeah. And would you have, from your experiences as well, both with your grandson and for yourself, is there any kind of message you like to share with parents who really feel like there's nothing more that they can do to help their child? It seems like everybody's telling them there's nothing else they can do, and you're sure that you're not ready to give up. Is there a message you'd like to share with parents?
Definitely, I think. Especially going through what I did with my best friend in the first year, where we're kind of the doctors are telling us there's no way he's going to live until his first birthday. To
True.
trust your instinct, like you know your child better than anyone else. And like within that first year, my godson had to have brain surgery to put a shunt in. And he didn't have any of the typical like post-op issues, but my best friend was like, no, there's something wrong with him. And after like probably 2 days of doctors saying, no, just stay at home, like it'll pass. She brought in to SickKids, and it turned out that there was an infection in his shunt, and he had to go back in for another brain surgery. And if she hadn't listened to herself and her intuition and knowing her child literally better than anyone, especially nonverbal kids, you know their cues, you know. So trust yourself and try not to give up hope, because miracles happen. Like my godson isn't, was never meant to be a teenager. Like that's what all the doctor, he was palliative when he was first born, and he's 13. So like feel what you need to feel in those moments of when it's hard, but don't give up hope.
I like that. Yeah, your godson is a living miracle,
He
basically. And
is, yeah.
I like how you said it. You know your child. You know more than anybody else. That so yeah, keep
Trust
pushing.
yourself. Don't, we're so used to like, oh, well, the doctor said, but the doctors don't always, unfortunately, have all the answers.
That's it. Exactly. And
Bottom
sometimes
line, like it's just.
it's trial and error sometimes. And you knowing your child, you can help them and say, no, there's something wrong. Can you go, check again, check
Yeah.
again, check again, check
Keep
again.
pushing, keep pushing, because you know. And if you don't push and advocate, no one else is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that message. Is there any advice you wish you would have had sooner that make your life easier?
I think the thing, and I don't know if it's a generational thing or so, like growing up, I was always taught like to kind of push your emotions down and don't deal with it and like don't make anyone uncomfortable with, and I'm an empath and I feel a lot, and so kind of suppressing my emotions for as long as I did, we all have an emotional threshold and at some point we're going to go over that. And when you are dealing with complex issues like medical trauma or whatever else you might be dealing with that is heavy, you really need to deal and feel your emotions to its fullest. And it's so uncomfortable to do, but feel everything. Take what you learn from that situation and just let go of the rest. Because if you're able to deal with your emotions, you're able to face challenges with way more strength and perseverance than you even think is possible for yourself. But emotions, that was my big dealing.
That is huge.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's a generational thing where we're just told to walk it off
Walk it off,
and
put a
tough.
smile on your face. Like don't make anyone
Yeah.
uncomfortable.
That's right. The
You know,
line
just put
I
a
grew up,
smile on.
the line I
Especially as
grew up
women.
with.
You
Yeah,
know, just
exactly.
smile and push it
Yeah.
down. Yeah.
Push it down. You're
Yeah.
fine.
Right?
And
And
yeah, you're
that's,
too overly emotional, or
yeah.
like what I grew up with was the show must go on. That's
Oh,
just
yeah.
like,
Yeah.
you could feel
Suck
sorry
it
for
up,
yourself all
Buttercup.
you want, walk it off, move on.
Yeah.
But I mean, look at what we're going through now in terms,
Exactly.
not just us alone, but to all the issues we have to deal with now, like feeling it, dealing with
It's
those
heavy.
emotions, it's heavy. Yeah, it is. It is. I'm gonna bring it right into the book. We got heavy there, and I loved it as an introduction. But you've got Bless the Meds that is out. It's doing amazing. Number one
Thank
seller on
you.
Amazon. And this is something I experience myself. I've got my book here.
Yeah, so exciting.
But every author that I or people that I talk to who wrote a book are saying there was a time where you knew it was just time to do it. And you think about it for decades, and all of a sudden you're like, no, this is it. So we have this amazing book, Bless the Meds, and some people are kind of like, what is that going to be about? Bless the, medication, all of that. But
Exactly.
what was there a defining moment where you're like, this, it's time. It's time for this to come out, and I'm doing it.
So I believe in divine timing. And so even though this is something that has literally been in the back of my head probably since like 2016 when I first got diagnosed in 2015, and just learning how to navigate my body and all the pain and everything that comes with it. So basically what happened was I had to go through all my surgeries and all that experience, as well as last year, my dad had a major stroke and he like bled out. He pretty much died on the table twice. His heart stopped. But he came like today, a year and a bit later, like you would never know that he went through what he went through. And I think that was the last kind of part that I needed to experience before writing the book, because it really like re-emphasized for me, even though I had been a caregiver with my godson, to be a caregiver and support my parents through this like so much uncertainty and like fear and everything that comes with it. And so then once my dad was like stable and I knew he was good, it's like the book was just like ready to flow. And even with my brain fog and all of that, like it only took me a few months to actually write it once I sat down, and it was ready to be written. And it's funny you talk about bless the meds, what's it about? Is it about medication? This, and it's actually one of the first big mindfulness shifts that I had as a chronic pain person. And I think a lot of people that are new to having to take medication, they have this like, I don't want to take it. It's toxic. I just don't want it. And so I had that and I didn't want to take the meds. And I did. And it was like hitting my head against a wall. And a friend and mentor, she asked me, well, do you feel better on the meds? And I did. And so she's like, what if you looked at it as an exchange and be thankful for this healing? And so I know this is a bit like woo for a lot of people, but I actually started blessing, like literally blessing my meds as like a sacred acknowledgement for the healing that they're providing. And so it's the ability to see a situation and a perspective from like unlimited possibilities. And so I share a lot of the mindfulness tips that really helped me get through all the craziness that I've been through, as well as alternative pain management. Like, I don't actually talk, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not talking about actual pharmaceutical meds. It's, sun is healing, the ocean is healing, it's medicine. And when we start to change how we talk about medicine, it's also really powerful, and it opens the door to a lot of ways to deal with any challenge, but health and pain.
I love how you kind of paint a picture of it, because I had never seen it that way before. But to bless the meds in terms of like saying grace before you eat, if you are aware that what you put in your body can harm you or heal you, and that's why we bless our food before we, well, why aren't we blessing our meds? And never kind of that connection to me that just went, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Because we're taking medication and cursing it, and then we ingest it.
Exactly.
So what are you giving yourself? So the whole time you're thinking about all the side effects
Right.
that may not even occur, may not
Right.
even happen. They have to put it down, but it's just that you're cursing it. It's just like
Yeah.
cursing your food. I mean, your Thanksgiving, the American Thanksgiving is coming. Imagine you're cursing your food the entire way, saying it like,
Exactly.
so of course it's not gonna have a good
It's
impact.
changing your relationship
I just,
to different things.
yeah,
Yeah. And I
it
told that
just.
story to a good friend of mine, and he was like, that needs to be the name of your book, Bless the
Yeah.
Meds. And that was in 2016. So that
That
was
isn't.
the first big shift. And I kind of wanted to honor my healing journey in that way, because it really led to me being able to see other things in different perspectives as well.
Yeah, no, I think a lot more people need to look at it that way, because it is a thing where people kind of curse the modern medicine,
That's
and but
true.
yet they rely on it, but they'll curse it all the way through. And
Exactly.
I don't know if it's a generational thing. I
It
grew
could
up in a
be.
fa I grew up in a family where they all, and they worked in the medical field, but they all refused to take their medication. And when
Yeah.
they do, they start feeling better, and then they stop, and then they get sick again. And I'm just like,
Exactly.
but I was feeling better. Yeah, because the meds
The meds are
are working. God.
working. Yeah,
And I come from a very natural family,
I know.
So we go to the alternative medicines first. We do the natural healing, but sometimes when it's not really a natural illness,
Yeah.
you kind
I've
of
done
need
it
that
all.
extra.
Trust me, allopathic, holistic, naturopathic, functional. I've done it
Exactly.
all. And so I share that.
You can find the balance, and I love that. Just bless your meds. It's
Yeah.
healing you. It
Yeah.
trust that it's going to do what it needs to
Exactly.
do. Forget what it could do, but on the negative side. So I really honestly, it was so exciting. This is a side note, but when you made the number one, you're sitting there next to Michael J. Fox's book as one of the top sellers, and I was like,
That was one of the most surreal moments, I think, of my life, because I
yes.
also included his quote as like, I knew I wanted to include quotes in my book because of his quote. And then to see his, it was just, wow. Like, I was floating.
I know. I was floating with him. Just sitting there. My family thinks I'm nuts now. They really do. They always kind of question it, but now I'm sitting in my office, just kind of dancing.
Embrace it, embrace it.
Yeah.
Whatever makes you happy, do more of
Oh, I love it.
that.
So definitely, it's available on Amazon. You can go check it out. It's great. And what is you? What's coming up for you now? With all this
So
excitement.
I know. So I have my launch that's coming up on Saturday. So the official like in-person launch. And then like next year, I already have like the groundwork for a course that I want to create along with another book to help people learn to live in the present moment. So like I definitely see more books in the future, maybe some speaking engagements, maybe a TED Talk. I don't know. Like there's lots of things that I would love to do for sure.
This opened up a whole new world for you, and
Exactly.
you're
Yeah.
playing it. I love that. I
Yeah.
love it. Actually, that brings me to my favorite question in an interview. This I promised a little girl I would ask everybody that, and it's, what do you want to be when you grow up?
That's funny because like you did give me a heads up. And so the first thing that I thought, and it never went away, and you might laugh, but it's true, is like a fairy godmother. I'm an aunt, like I don't have my own kids, so I'm an auntie. I absolutely love my little ones. When I was doing weddings, a few of my clients and couples used to call me their fairy godmother.
Oh,
And it
that's
just
awesome.
like, so this idea of like magical and like granting wishes and,
I
you
love
know,
it.
like spreading my magic,
Oh,
that's
that's
kind of
awesome.
my vibe. Like, yeah.
Love it. You're kind of already doing it, though.
Thank you.
So I might see you at the book launch. This episode's going to air after the book launch, but I see you with the wings. Bring some sparkly wings.
And
I
Wicked
love
is
that.
coming, well, Wicked just came out. So when I think of Fairy Godmother, I think of like Glinda.
Yes.
It's
Yes. Absolutely. I
like
love
Wicker
that.
Wand and the,
And I just love how you said that, because there's nothing better than being an auntie. I love being a mother, don't get me wrong,
yeah.
but there's responsibilities
Yeah.
attached to that. That's not fun. Auntie,
I get to have all the fun with my little ones. Yeah.
there's no, I mean, you got to make sure you don't hurt them, but still, you're just like,
No. Safety first.
you just rattle the cage and hand them back to the
Yeah.
parents. I love it. Oh,
It's the
yes.
best. It's the absolute best.
We should all be fairy godmothers.
Yes.
Oh, you're so awesome. Thank you so much. I could talk, like, I mean,
I
everybody
know.
that's listening, everybody that's watching, like, Christy has an amazing energy. I could have you on the entire time. But how can people follow you? How can they get in contact with you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, so the best way is probably my website, which is christyvito.com. It's Christie Vito.com. because a lot of people like to put an H in my name. So I always just spell it out just in case. So yeah, Christy Vito on Instagram,
Yes,
my
that's good.
website. Yeah, I look forward to connecting.
Yeah, and I'll leave the information in the description as well so people can
Amazing.
have a look at it. And I still sometimes, if I'm on autopilot, still put an H. I'm like searching something. I'm like, why can't I find her? It's the, yes, no H. It's Christy, no
That's
H.
why I always spell it, because I'm like,
Yeah.
my parents, why did they? I either get the H or the Y at the end,
Oh, yeah.
or a K sometimes. Like, so I always just spell it out just in case.
There are many options there. Yeah. No. Thank you so much, Christy, for coming on. I'm so happy we got to chat a little bit. And the more I talk to you, the more I learned about so many things. Or the way I love, like, you change my perspective on certain things. And I just absolutely love that. And don't forget again, you gotta go get the book. Keep it number one. Yes. Keep it number one. Keep it going. She's gotta let's beat Michael J. Fox. Let's do
Oh
that.
my goodness. Can you
Let's
imagine? Oh my
Can
goodness.
you imagine, right? Superstar there. But so thank you again for coming on and sharing your story and this beautiful message. And well, anytime, whenever you're ready, you can come back on anytime. I love that.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. I had so much fun with you.
Good. And for everybody watching, don't forget to like, follow and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. Don't forget to check out Christy's website to see what's going on. Don't forget to get the book. It is amazing. Even if it's not for yourself, for somebody that you know that may be going through some stuff. So, and I know with the parents that I work, this could be really good. So thank you again. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.